The best-selling author of Bringing Down the House and The Accidental Billionaires, Ben Mezrich, now offers an epic crime drama of wealth, rivalry, and betrayal that gives an unprecedented glimpse into the rarefied world of the mega-wealthy Russian oligarchs. His new book is Once Upon a Time in Russia, The Rise of the Oligarchs, a true story of ambition, wealth, betrayal, and murder. The book is published by Atria. Ben Mezrich, thank you very much for being back on the program. Great to have you here.
No, thank you for having me again.
Thank you. What brought you down this road of wanting to look at the oligarchs?
Well, you know, I never set out to write a book about Russian oligarchs. It was something I didn't know a lot about, and I basically got a phone call from the director, Brett Ratner, you know, who did all the Rush Hour movies and Hercules last year, and he and I had been working on another project, and he said, I want you to come to London and meet some people who want to tell you a story. And so I flew to London, and I got to this bar, and there was all the security everywhere, and I went in, and there was this Russian oligarch there, and I started hearing this story, and my immediate response was, no way, I don't want to do this, this is too big, it's scary, but as I, you know, spent more and more time listening to this story, I was just kind of blown away by it, so I just got hooked.
So how much was it to tell that oligarch story or to tell the story of oligarchs in general?
Well, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't, I wanted to tell the whole story. I mean, this is a huge, huge story in a lot of ways. And I wanted to tell one particular story, sort of Boris Berezovsky and Roman Abramovich's story, because through them you get Putin. So I wanted to tell this story in as simple a way as I could, I guess. So it's a thriller about these two men, but also through them, you also get where Putin came from, how this incredible amount of wealth, you know, ended up in the hands of so few people, and a lot of sort of murder along the way. So, it's more of a bigger story than just sort of one oligarch story.
Roman Abramovich is really the protege of Boris Berezovsky. So the story does begin there in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, so Boris Berezovsky is kind of the main character of the story. He was the guy who was known as the godfather of the Kremlin. He was a one-time kind of car salesman and mathematician who became one of the biggest oligarchs there was. And then he took on this young charge, Roman Abramovich, who was a 26-year-old toy maker. He made rubber ducks and plastic toys, and he was from Siberia. And together they launched one of the biggest oil companies in the world. And this was all in the 90s when everything was just going crazy in Russia and young men were coming out of nowhere and suddenly becoming incredibly wealthy.
So really, I mean, as you say, this is in the 90s. 1994 is when the story basically begins. So what's incredible is what has happened over the past 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, it starts in 1994. Berezovsky was, you know, already on his way to a fortune when he was in his car in front of his company, his business, and his car was blown up, and he was nearly killed. His driver was decapitated, and he decided at that moment to go into politics because he felt that the only way to protect yourself in Russia was to be involved in politics. And that was kind of the launching of the whole oligarch thing. These were men who were not just wealthy, but also had their fingers in the government. And then over the next sort of two decades, you sort of trace this story of these men who kind of rise and fall.
And for Abramovich, it is oil. It is building one of the nation's largest oil companies pretty much from the ground up.
Yeah, I mean, he was a nobody. He was from nowhere. He met Boris Berezovsky on a yacht in the Caribbean, and he basically said, you know, I want to privatize an oil company. And this is when Boris Yeltsin was president, and he was giving away all of the resources to these businessmen as sort of a hedge against communism. His idea was that if we quickly give the country away and turn it capitalist, there's no way they can roll back the clock and take away what we've already gotten. So he basically was handpicking people, and Abramovich kind of used Berezovsky as his lever into the Kremlin, and together they launched what became Sibneft Oil.
Now, for Berezovsky, he is running a political empire, as you mentioned, also making a ton of cash. And how does he start to work with Putin?
Well, in the beginning, sort of, Putin was seen as this guy that they could control. The idea was that Yeltsin was dying; he was you know, getting sick, and they needed to replace him. And so the oligarchs, at this point in time, seven men owned about 50% of Russia's GDP. So they were the wealthiest men in the world. and they decided we want to put someone in power who we can control. And they found this low-level KGB agent, Putin, was working for the mayor of St. Petersburg, and they thought, we can control this guy. And so they placed him into power. Berezovsky was instrumental in that. But as soon as Putin took power, everything changed. Putin was not the person they thought he was, and he very quickly let them know that, that things were going to change.
Well, he had it out for the oligarchs, and so then Berezovsky is, like, all in as far as bringing down this guy.
Yeah, so Putin invited all of the oligarchs to Stalin's old house, which, you know, you can see bullet holes in the walls and things like that. And he sat all the oligarchs down at a table, and he basically said, you've all made a lot of money, you've done really well, and you can keep your money, but just stay out of my way. And most of the oligarchs kind of agreed with that and said, okay, he's the leader now. Berezovsky decided, no, I'm going to battle him. And he used the television station, which he owned, to attack Putin relentlessly. And he just kept on attacking him and attacking him. And finally, Putin had had enough and basically, you know, threatened Berezovsky, and Berezovsky had to go into exile. And that's when everything changed. And that's also when the relationship of Berezovsky and Abramovich changed, because Roman Abramovich could no longer, you know, have Berezovsky as his partner if he was no longer involved, you know, in the Putin government.
So Abramovich ultimately wants to stay in Putin's good graces, and that, of course, and who could have seen this coming, that this is going to fray the relationship between these two.
Yeah, I mean, he basically, you know, Berezovsky goes on the run, ends up in London, and Abramovich, you know, is still involved in Russia and building this oil company, and Berezovsky becomes this risk to him. You know, he becomes this guy who is very much hated in Russia, who is you know, criminalized. Basically, the Russian government decided that he was a criminal, and so Abramovich, you know, meets with Berezovsky and makes a payoff. This took place on an airfield in Megev, and basically he gave him $1.3 billion to go away. It was basically, here's a bunch of money, our relationship is finished. And, you know, Berezovsky at first accepted the money. It was an enormous amount of money. But over the next couple of years, Berezovsky ended up actually spending all of his money and running, you know, way, way down, and decided to then sue Abramovich. Abramovich at this point had sold the oil company for, I think, $13 billion, and Berezovsky then sued him, demanding $6 billion. And that was kind of the beginning of the end for Berezovsky.
And then he would die a few months later.
Well, after the court case, he loses the court case, and basically the judge says, you are an insignificant man, which to him was the sort of greatest sort of the worst thing you could say to a guy like Berezovsky. He ended up getting very upset and desperate, and then shortly after was found hanging in his bathroom. And, you know, it was ruled a suicide. There are people who don't believe it was a suicide, but he was a desperate man at that point. He was nearly bankrupt. He had lost everything, and he had lost this big law case.
So where is Abramovich today?
Abramovich is one of the wealthiest men in the world. He's in England and St. Bart's and everywhere he wants to be. He owns the soccer club, Chelsea Soccer Club in England. He still is in Putin's good graces and can go back and forth. He owns, you know, a 767 that has a 30-person dining room table in it, and a $100 million home in St. Bart's, and the biggest yacht in the world, or one of the biggest yachts in the world. So he's doing quite well.
What does this tell us about the oligarchs as a group and their future and even with the future of Putin?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of people don't realize how incredibly powerful and popular Putin is. The oligarchs are under his control, and the oligarchs who stay in his favor remain wealthy. The oligarchs who go up against him, you know, are no longer have business anymore, are not able to keep their money, and are not able to stay attached to Russia in any way. So, you know, it's one of these situations where Putin is definitely on the top of that pyramid, and men like Abramovich become his sort of cash register. They're the people who fund whatever Putin wants to do.
Given your track record in history and your description that this book came out of a discussion with a film director, is the idea for this to become a motion picture?
Yeah, I set up the movie already. I sold the movie actually before I wrote the book. The movie is being made by Warners, and Ratner Brett is producing it. And right now it's out to writers and directors. So we'll see where it ends up. But it's looking very good. And yeah, it's probably going to be my next movie.
Well, the name of the book is Once Upon a Time in Russia, The Rise of the Oligarchs, A True Story of Ambition, Wealth, Betrayal, and Murder. The book is published by Atria. Ben Masaryk, thank you very much for spending time with us. A great pleasure.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Once Upon a Time in Russia. It is published by Atria. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.